Listen to the voices of our world.
We have so many poor people.
AIDS is there. AIDS is with us.
We're hoping to have antiretrovirals, which will only cost about 500 shillings a month, but most will not be able to afford it.
We should do something.
We will give it to them free.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Maryknoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Some people think that AIDS is an automatic death sentence, especially in Africa, and that nothing can be done about it. Not so. We'll take you to Kenya, where some healthcare workers have come up with ingenious ways to prolong life and elevate its quality. Aqua blue water, white sand, and palm trees. That's Mombasa, Kenya. Huge carved wooden doors in the old part of town display the city's historical significance as the largest port in East Africa, shipping fruits, minerals, and slaves for many hundreds of years. Today, the city still attracts Kenyans from other regions who flock to work in the shipping and warehouse industries. Most of these workers are day laborers who live in the outskirts of town. We visit Mombasa West with Maryknoll brother John Mullen, a nurse by training, who has been instrumental in creating an AIDS relief project that serves 4,500 patients. The program offers free HIV/AIDS testing and counseling, remedies for opportunistic infections, antiretroviral drugs, and some food for those most in need. We drove with Brother John Mullen to speak with two AIDS counselors and encountered a remedy for shingles on a tree.
You would just take this.
No. This stuff. This white sap stuff. It's milky in appearance and there's not much of a scent to it. A little sticky.
You literally pick the leaf and then you apply it onto the shingles.
Yes. Well, what you would do is, it's all in here. You'd have to get a pencil or something and a fresh leaf and roll it down, and you can milk the sap out. This is one herbal medicine that's been tested, and it's free. It works. They have an antiretroviral cream, acyclovir, that people can apply, but the treatment only lasts a couple of days. A little small tube will cost them $20-$30, which people don't have. They can't afford to even buy the small tube, and it doesn't provide effective treatment. It's free. It's here.
That's fantastic.
Here, anybody under 40 and who get this, the shingles, the herpes zoster, it's a clear sign that they have HIV/AIDS. In almost all cases, without treatment, in a couple of years, they'll be dead. So the problem with the herpes zoster is that it's very, very painful. And this sap from the frangipani tree, if it's applied, you know, during the first week when the rash manifests on the skin, it will both dry the infection and it will reduce the amount of pain the person experiences over the long term. This was shared with us when I was working in Nairobi by one of the sister nurses there, and it works.
Sister Pauline, who belongs to the Order of the Sisters of St. Joseph's, has been working with Brother Mullen since 1999. Although she is the head administrator of the AIDS Relief Project now, we found her wrapping vitamins and medications for patients she visited earlier that morning while covering for two sick nurses. Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Sister Pauline about her work.
Most of my life now is with the sick. And the challenge we have is getting them to accept that they are sick. That's why we want everybody to visit a VCT and get tested, and then they are sure that it's not that they suspect or we suspect that they are sick. They know themselves that they are sick. Then from there, they can also prevent themselves from infecting others and from reinfection. And also now with the ARVs, I'm sure and I'm praying that soon we'll have them in plenty in our country. They'll get those ARVs and they will be strong and healthy to keep looking at their families.
So in a community like this where you've had so many people with HIV and AIDS, is the stigma against AIDS, has it been lowered or is it just as high as it used to be?
It's not as it used to be. 6 years back, you couldn't find a family where somebody was in the house. And the relatives, the parents, or the daughters, they don't want even to feed that person. They don't even want to enter where she is living. Yeah, so it's getting better, because as we started visiting those patients, especially in their bedrooms, people saw that, oh, they are not getting the disease and they are visiting our relative. So they got in, and at least now we don't have much problem with that. Now their relatives are taking care of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult situation, and not everybody's going to know how to deal with it.
It's not as easy as we think, but I'm happy people are getting to know that AIDS is there, AIDS is with us. We should do something.
So tell me one story about somebody who touched you in some way.
We work with volunteers from small Christian communities. In fact, those are the backbone of the project. In fact, they are the ones who bridge to the patients. I've just visited a family who's the mother of the two daughters who have already died. One died in May, the other one died 2 weeks ago. The firstborn was a volunteer. The mother is a volunteer. The mother had only these two daughters and two sons. Now she doesn't have a daughter. Both of them have died because of AIDS. And the one who died 2 weeks ago has also left a young boy of 6 years, 6, 7 years, who is also sick. And that family really touched me. This one who died the other day is 21 years old. They are very young.
These women were volunteers, meaning that you had very close personal contact with them.
And we worked with them, and they visited patients with us. Yeah.
I'm very sorry to hear about that.
Thank you.
So how many people do you think live around here, and how many do you think are infected?
Around here, I don't know. But who are infected, we have more than... Since we started, we have a record of more than 2,000 around here. But we have quite a number who are dying, and we have others who are coming up with the opportunistic infection. So at least 1,500 here in this station. If somebody gets sick, they get help for a few days, and if the sickness is continuous, it's a chronic, a few will take care of you. But when you die, people really help you. And people die almost daily. Walk around here, you find them. Like now, I passed 3 houses where people are dead. They are mourning. You look at them, you feel like, oh, I wish I was God. I could at least keep the life of this one until they are at least 10, 20 years old to see their children grow.
What happens when someone dies? Is there a ritual or a burial?
Many people are from up country. They came here just to look for a better living because of the industries they support in Mombasa. So whenever they die here, the culture is that of almost all the tribes in Kenya. The culture is you have to be buried back home. You wouldn't believe it. To transport a dead body from here to Western, it costs not less than 60,000 Kenyan money. So we meet and collect and donate. And people come to do that, but when you are sick, they won't assemble to donate something to get you medicines or food. But when you are dead, they want to take that body back home to your own place, which is very expensive. They exhaust every penny, every saved. If that person had saved something for the family, they can use all that to bury that person, and then the children might be left without even school fees to go to school or something to feed on. We really treasure the dead body. I don't know. It's our culture. So we need to bury it in a respect. Everything you are buried is with new. So they buy everything new, a coffin, and then to hire a vehicle from here to up country to carry a dead body, the cheapest is 60,000 Kenyan shillings. And the mourning does not take long. The moment they get enough money to take you home, they do take you. It's also a ceremony back at home when they are burying one, to be 2-3 day ceremonies to some tribes. And people are eating, they are enjoying, they are dancing, they are celebrating the dead person's life. That's what we say.
Now, 60,000 shillings, that would be... How long would it take for somebody who had just a job selling corn next to a bus? How much would that time
to get that? Oh, it can take even 2 or 3 years. That's a lot of money. It's more than $100. And many even here earn less than $1 a day, especially those who are selling. You are seeing them selling vegetables. The highest they can get there is $5 per day. What you want is just to have enough money to take this person home. Sometimes they are not able to. They bury them here, but rarely they do that.
And here, meaning there's some sort of public cemetery?
We have many public cemeteries here around in Mombasa. But we have a common cemetery where everybody else is buried, but you have to pay something also there. They don't just bury for free. You have to pay something.
The clinic keeps meticulous records on all who have passed through its doors. Marian Old Brother John Mullen reads the names of some who have passed away.
Each volunteer has a group of patients that they visit, and you can see on the cards the kind of information we gather. We have their address, you know, where they're living, who the volunteer is that follows them, their age, the number of children they have, their home district, and then their initial diagnosis, whether or not they've been tested, and then the visits are documented and the kind of medicines that they're getting. So some of these patients, a 52-year-old female who initially complained of severe backache, we would want to find out over a period of several visits whether or not this person has AIDS. If they don't have AIDS, we're going to start referring her to the government dispensaries. But for many people, if we have any suspicion that they're HIV positive, we'll follow them. And so these cards, we got 4,500 total of people. And this is just one small community health project in one small area of Mombasa. We've had probably 40, 50 people that have died so far this year. Or more than that, I can tell. 24-year-old young woman with a 6-year-old, 27-year-old woman with one child. This one is a child. One of the children have died of AIDS. 27-year-old mother of 2. 28-year-old mother of 3. 35-year-old mother of 7. 42-year-old mother of 2 children, 24-year-old mother of 5 children with one is 2 years old, 32-year-old father of 1. No, I mean, it's endless. It's endless, the people here that have died from this terrible disease. The church has a special day when we remember the dead, and we have the priest acknowledge the patients that have died during the past year. And we find that helpful to the both the volunteers and the staff to remember those who we've cared for during the year who have died.
Do you think people really understand the magnitude of AIDS? Let us know what you think. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.